Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome again to Lehem Panim. Today we're going to continue our study of Acts chapter 18. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and look with me there. You'll remember that Paul has most recently entered into the city of Corinth, which was the political and commercial center of Greece. And it's here that he works as a tent maker alongside a Jewish man and woman, Aquila and Priscilla, who themselves have been driven out, as all the Jews were, from Rome. And so during the week, they make leather tents and perhaps other leather items as well, and sell them. But on the Sabbath, Paul would reason in the synagogue with the Jews and the Gentiles who had gathered there to worship, and he would seek to persuade some of them of the truth of the gospel. Now, Silas and Timothy eventually arrive, and 2 Corinthians 11:9 tells us that they do so bringing financial aid. And what this did was it allowed Paul to be more freed up to devote himself more fully to the preaching of the gospel. But enemies had set themselves against Paul. And so Paul had faced, you'll remember, the rejection of many of his own people, most recently here in Corinth. And it's really been a discouraging time for Paul. And he may be wondering how he's ever going to do what God has called him to do. But God gave Paul such an amazing promise in our passage today, a promise that extends to you and me as well. And today I kind of want to take a look at that and unpack it just a little bit. But first of all, you know, I was thinking just recently, most of us remember right where we were when we heard the news that terrorists had hit the World Trade Center buildings on 9/11. I mean, that's a day that I will never forget. But recently I read, I think for the first time, though I had seen part of it before, the 911 call from United Airlines Flight 93, where a very terrified passenger by the name of Todd Beamer, he was frantically telling the dispatcher about this hijacking of his plane. And the dispatcher confirmed for him what he had already heard, that hijackers had crashed two planes into the World Trade Center and that both towers were gone. "Oh God, help us," he said. And she told him that a third plane was taken over by terrorists who crashed it into the Pentagon. And his plane may also be a part of their plan. And then Todd, in shock, he asked the dispatcher, whose name was Lisa, to call his pregnant wife, whose name, surprisingly, was also Lisa, and their two boys, to tell them what happened and tell her that he loves her and will always love her, and to tell his boys that their daddy loves them and that he's so proud of them. And later in the call, another dispatcher joins in the conversation. "Hello, Todd. This is Agent Goodwin with the FBI. We have been monitoring your flight. Your plane is on a course for Washington, D.C. These terrorists sent two planes into the World Trade Center and one plane into the Pentagon. Our best guess is that they plan to fly your plane into either the White House or the United States Capitol building." And Todd said, "I understand. Hold on, I'll be right back." And Lisa said, "Mr. Goodwin, how much time do they have before they get to Washington?" And Goodwin said, "Not long, ma'am. They changed course over Cleveland. They're approaching Pittsburgh now. Washington may be 20 minutes away." And Todd, breathing a little heavier, said, "The plane seems to be changing directions just a little. It's getting pretty rough up here. The plane is flying real erratic. We're not going to make it out of here. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. I have talked with the others. We have decided we would not be pawns in these hijackers' suicidal plot. And Lisa said, Todd, what are you going to do? And Todd said, we've hatched a plan. Four of us are going to rush the hijacker with a bomb. After we take him out, we'll break into the cockpit. A stewardess is getting some boiling water to throw on the hijackers at the controls. We will get them and we'll take them out. Lisa, will you do one last thing for me? Lisa said, yes. What is it? And Todd said, would you pray with me? And they prayed together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And Todd, softer voice now, said, God help me, Jesus help me. And then he clears his throat and a little bit louder says, Are you guys ready? Let's roll. And of course, we know that Todd and the other passengers, they succeeded. They, at the cost of their own lives, they were able to overcome the terrorists and crash that plane, saving God knows how many lives in what is no doubt one of the greatest acts of heroism in American history. Now, I can't even imagine how afraid Todd and those passengers must have been, yet they were somehow able to rise above that fear and take action. And the secret to that courage, it might be found in the last words that Todd prayed from Psalm 23, For thou art with me. I don't know if there are any more encouraging words in Scripture than those. To know that in the midst of whatever we are facing, God is with us. Perhaps that's why God has seen fit to interweave this promise throughout all of Scripture. He says in Genesis 28:15, Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Joshua 1:9, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41:10, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43:2, When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Deuteronomy 31:6, Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Zephaniah 3:17, The Lord our God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Matthew 28:20, Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I, and this is Jesus talking, I am with you always, to the end of the age. You know, it is this promise of God to be with us no matter what that can help us to carry on his work in the face of the most intense trials and persecutions. And it's no surprise that it is this promise that God gives to Paul as he's no doubt discouraged from his having faced rejection and adversity in just about every place that he's been ministering in. Most recently from his Jewish brothers there in Corinth. And so God comes to him by night and appears to him in a vision. It says in verse 9 and following, "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." Now the reason that God said this was because remember that recently Crispus, the synagogue ruler, had converted to faith in Jesus Christ in and through the ministry of Paul. And that was awesome because it opened up more opportunities for Paul to evangelize there in Corinth. But it also brought more opposition from the enemy. The unbelieving Jews there in Corinth, they were furious at Paul's success. And so they set themselves against him and against his ministry with the aim to silence him, to get rid of him. Now, Luke does not give us much detail on this, but it seems that between verses 8 and 9, the situation has become especially difficult and dangerous for Paul. So dangerous that Paul may have been even thinking about leaving Corinth altogether, as he had been forced to do from some of the other cities he had ministered in. But as we've been talking about, God always provides encouragement when we need it most. And that encouragement, it can come through his word, it can come through the ministry of other people, or even directly from God through prayer. But no matter how he does it, God speaks to us when we need him most. And so God tells Paul that because he is with him, he doesn't need to be afraid. He can speak freely without feeling he needs to keep silent in order to be safe. Now, there have probably been times in your life when you have heard God speaking that soft and tender, "Fear not," to quiet your heart and give you peace amidst the storms of life. "Fear not" is the way that he assured Abraham in Genesis 15:1, Isaac in Genesis 26:24, Jacob in Genesis 46:3, as well as Jehoshaphat, Daniel, Mary, Peter, and a host of others. And that's how God assures us as well. You know, it's interesting, British preacher G. Campbell Morgan, he used to read the Bible each week to two elderly women. And one evening when he finished reading the closing words of Matthew 28, Morgan said to the women, "Isn't that a wonderful promise?" And one of them replied, "Young man, that's not a promise. It is a fact." And that was definitely a fact for Paul. Jesus had already appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road and also in the temple. Paul would be encouraged by Jesus again when he was imprisoned in Jerusalem in Acts 23, and later in Rome. Our Lord's angel would also appear to Paul in the midst of the storm and give him a word of assurance for the passengers and the crew, and we'll come to that in Acts 27. And this really shows that the title that you and I call Jesus by, I think especially during Christmas time, Emmanuel, God with us, that's a name that our Savior really lives up to. And I want to tell you today that Jesus is with you, and therefore you can take courage. One hymn that speaks this word of God into our lives like no other is this: "Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Know this week that Christ is with you in whatever you are facing, and that if you abide in him, he will do his work through you. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.